Charles Paris, A Deadly Habit. Episode 1.
Hello.
A drunk major once told me, the secret to a quiet life in the army is to walk fast, look busy, and always carry a file.
Charles!
Unencumbered by gainful employment, I was heeding this advice and keeping my head down.
Charles!
Attempting to avoid Francis's latest project, I walked fast, looked busy, and in the absence of a file, grabbed a brochure selling stuff you didn't know you needed, like slippers with torches in the toes for nighttime comfort breaks.
Have you got a minute?
Just on my way out.
It won't take long.
Sorry, Francis, I've got a thing.
Usual, Charles?
Make it a double. Work-wise, it had been a disastrous year.
Make that two doubles.
No, a disastrous 18 months.
In fact, save washing up and put them both in the same
glass. In the same glass. Yeah, I know.
My one consolation was that I wasn't the only actor out of work. Even the ones who spend their evenings waiting tables were in between restaurants.
One quadruple scotch.
My worse than bleeding useless agent had been no help at all. It was so long since I'd seen him, I could barely remember what he looked like. And the last time we spoke, he said...
I'm doing my best, Charles. Oh, put it on the table, Jacques.
Who's Jacques?
Oh, a lad from the village.
What village?
I've got a little bolt hole.
I didn't ask your medical history. Where are you, Morris?
Away.
Away where?
Out of the country.
So clearly striving to get me work.
It's all about you, isn't it?
As you're my agent, yes, it is.
This newfangled World Wide Web that's all the rage means there's nothing I do in the office I can't do from Provence.
So my 10% get you a Provençal bolt hole?
Your 10% wouldn't give me a nylon windbreak in Clacton.
If you weren't permanently on holiday, I might have more work.
What holiday? I'm not having fun. The entire industry's over here. It's basically Soho in the sun. Non-stop work, breakfast, brunch meetings, business lunch.
Sounds like a living hell. Anything for me?
Lunch?
Work.
I'm trying, Charles.
Very trying.
What can I say? It's a terrible climate.
He said, sipping Chardonnay by the pool.
Muscadet? Chardonnay with seafood.
Try not to get food poisoning, Mars.
Gotta go. This lobster won't eat itself.
I hope the Mistral blows up your bolt. And that was the last I'd heard from the old tapeworm. Actors often bump into colleagues we haven't seen in years, but as I turned into my street, I was surprised to see one coming out of my front door.
Do thank Susie for recommending me. I promise she's not on commission.
I slipped behind a parked transit to watch Tom Bainell schmooze my semi-detached wife.
Lovely to meet you, Francis.
Before stumbling into acting, he'd been a male escort, and although he was only 5'6", a dresser told me his nickname was Big Tom. You do the maths.
What do I owe you for today?
Oh, no, that was on the house. My pleasure. I'll wait to hear from you.
What the hell?
Francis?
Kitchen! There's tea in the pot.
Something strange.
Hang on.
Just happened.
Please, Charles, I'm revising the last chapter and I don't want to lose my train of thought.
For a year, I'd tried and failed to find out what my semi-detached wife was writing, but Francis was the doyen of misdirection.
Have a chocolate digestive.
And I was easily misdirected.
Good. Right. Yes. Sorry, what?
Is everything all right?
A bit more specific?
Are you feeling neglected?
In what way?
Lonely.
Chance to be a fine thing.
I'm being serious here.
But I have no idea what you're being serious about.
Enough dancing around, I'm going to say it.
Wish you would.
Escorts.
1970s.
What?
Ford escorts.
Male escorts.
Are we playing word association?
No.
Then what?
I want you to be honest with me. Are you paying for personal services?
I had a manicure this morning.
I won't judge you.
Good, they're my nails.
Forget nails. You know I'm not talking about nails. Are you being intentionally obtuse?
I have literally no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, you want to play games, fine. But I've got to say, I'm more than a bit...
Clinically insane?
Surprised. No, shocked. I know our relationship's unconventional, but Big Tom Bainell? Really?
How do you know Tom?
He's an actor.
No, he's not.
I'll admit, I've worked with more animated trees. Where's your self-respect? You don't need the services of a gigolo.
Have I woken up in a 1920s bodice ripper?
Male sex worker, whatever you want to call it. I heard him ask if you liked what you'd seen.
He showed me photos of what he can do.
Very professional. But where's the emotion?
I'm not looking for love. It's purely transactional.
I could tell from the way you asked him what you owed him for today.
That was a freebie.
Oh, nice.
A taster.
Spare me the details.
He came round to give me a quote, and while he was here, he screwed the...
No!
...bathroom light fitting back into the ceiling. You know, the one you've been promising to do for a year. He's a handyman painter and decorator.
Oh.
And the penny drops.
Yeah.
Also, I don't pay for sex.
All right.
Not that it's any of your business.
Absolutely. But if you ever decide to, I offer a very competitive rate.
I'm good, thanks.
Out of interest, what did he quote?
What's it to you? You're not paying.
I'm looking after your interests.
I could look after my own interests.
But you haggled.
I negotiated.
Really?
Yes, really. I knocked him down.
A lot?
A bit.
A bit?
The man's got to make a living.
How much?
Mind your own.
Don't be coy. How much?
He wanted 9 and I got him down to 8.
800?
1,000.
8 grand to slap up a bit of paint? Tell me you haven't agreed.
Not yet.
Thank God for that.
He's got a good reputation.
As a con man.
Susie was very satisfied.
Your ditzy mate Susie was probably blinded by his bleached teeth. 8 grand? Man, am I in the wrong game. He'd have to be Michael Bleeding Angelo for that money.
You said this about every quote I've ever had.
Because they've all tried to rip you off.
Writing this book has taught me a lot about myself, and if there's one thing I've learned...
Oh, the book. Why the secrecy?
There's no secrecy.
Every time I walk in, you close the laptop.
It's my book, not yours.
So you've spent all these months writing it with no intention of anyone else reading it?
When it's ready.
Is it fiction?
Mind your own.
Is it a novel? Is it chick lit?
I'm not a hen, and this is not the 1990s, you patronising patriarch. This is exactly why I need a room of my own.
There are rooms here.
And you're in all of them all of the time. It's like you travel through time and space.
Don't be ridiculous.
It's like having a needy puppy. Every time I look up, there you are.
Thanks a lot.
I need a me space, somewhere private where I can shut the door and be alone with my thoughts.
I do that in the lab.
Don't be facetious. I'm not in the mood.
8 grand for painting a room.
I also want to maximise the space. Better lighting, bookshelves.
I can do that.
You?
Yeah, me.
You hate DIY.
I hate being ripped off more.
I need a hard-working, reliable, all-round handyman.
Look no further. And I live here. How handy is that?
Handy, not handsy.
It's not like I've got anything else on. Tell me what you want. I'll do your room.
Are you serious?
Deadly. If Big Tom Bainall can do it, how hard can it be? There was nothing for it, so I carpe'd the old diem and started work on Francis's big project. But to stay match fit, actors need to flex the acting muscles. So I adopted the character of a proper bloke called Dave. Painter, decorator, an all-round handyman. A tradesman who knew his way around a tenon saw.
Brought you some tea.
Cheers, darling.
Yeah, nice clean cut.
2 sugars?
Nah, I'm off the old sugar.
Right. What's that on your arm?
Where?
Looks like a lump.
What lump? It's a lump. I've got a lump.
It's just a lump.
There's no just. Just is what those NHS adverts say to scare the hell out of me.
Calm down.
It's not your lump.
May I feel it?
Get careful.
Oh, no.
What?
You do know what that is, don't you?
What?
A bicep. You've got a muscle.
Oh.
I felt fit, healthy. I even slept better. Sometimes only getting up 4 times a night, which at my age makes me practically Superman. As the months wore on, I stopped playing Dave and started being Dave.
What about rolling fog?
Bit grey, innit?
Portland stone?
Grey.
Roman plaster?
Also grey.
There's one called Thames silt.
Dark grey. Don't posh paint companies do anything that ain't grey?
These are colours of sophistication, calm and mindful contemplation.
They're still grey, but you're the boss. Choose the grey you like. I'll do you exactly the same at trade, any finish you like. Eggshell, matte, silk sheen, satin wood, distemper.
Excuse me, I need some expert advice about bathroom paint.
I don't work here.
I can't spare him for a minute.
Bathroom paint. Obviously, it's got to be suitable for steamy interiors. Myself, I go for a specialist mould-resistant emulsion.
Your phone's ringing.
What? Oh, sorry, I better take this.
Hello, stranger. Long time no speak.
Who's this?
What?
Can you hold the line, mate?
Mate.
Sorry, love, I should have mentioned you might want to key the wall, sand the old paintwork right back to plaster. Yeah, gov, sorry about that.
Are you talking to me?
I'll just take you out to the car park.
What can I do you for?
Are you having an episode?
No, it's all good.
Doesn't sound good.
Sweet as a nut, mate.
I'm not your mate. I'm Morris, your agent. I'm phoning about a job.
Right.
Did you hear what I said? I use the J word. Job.
What sort of job is it, sir?
An acting job. Remember acting? Theatre? Would you like to be in a play?
Depends. I suppose I might be able to fit you in.
Very good, Charles.
I think you've got the wrong number, sir.
Do not hang up, Charles.
Dave.
Who's Dave?
Everyone knows Dave.
Is this a wind-up?
I'm a busy man. I've got better things to do.
OK. I think you may have swum too deep.
I ain't swimming. I'm in the B&Q car park.
Now, listen to me. This happens to spies who go so far inside they start to believe their own legend.
You've got the wrong bloke. I ain't a spy. I'm decent, dependable, hard-working Dave.
Stay calm.
I'm always calm. Ask anyone. Look me up on Checker Trade, Dave the Unflappable.
I've seen this before when method actors go rogue.
You say it's a theatre job?
That's right.
Sounds like a scaffolding number, but I can give you a quote.
Oh, this is worse than I thought.
All the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players.
Charles!
You've got to admit, I still got it.
You complete and
repeat after me, Charles Paris. You are without doubt the best actor on my list and one of the finest of your generation.
Arse.
Tell me about the play. How much are they offering?
And he's back in the room.
The Charles you know and love.
Well, let's say tolerate and leave it at that.
Is it an audition?
Outright offer.
Really?
Special request from Justin Grover.
Justin asked for me.
I know, I was as shocked as you.
Isn't he in some sword and sorcery tosh?
High concept, supernatural fantasy, and you should be in such tosh.
Is it good?
It's popular.
That's not what I asked.
Are you telling me you've never seen Warlock Wars?
Yeah, I just can't get enough high concept supernatural fantasy.
Mock away, baby. Justin's crying all the way to the bank as Morrowarn.
That's easy for you to say.
Morrowarn's the central character. A brooding warlock overlord. Season 5 just wrapped, 6 and 7 are greenlit.
What's the play?
It's called Faith.
The George Michael story.
It's not a jukebox musical, it's a verbatim piece.
Oh, not a piece.
What's wrong with a piece?
A piece means they haven't got the courage of their convictions to call it a play. And what exactly does verbatim mean in this context?
Dervla Brody pieced it together from interviews and first-hand testimony with monks.
I'm guessing no jokes.
It comes under the category of important drama that needs to be told.
What's it about?
Monks in a monastery beset by corruption and scandal.
Why does he want to do a thing like this in his downtime?
The usual, reconnecting with his audience, getting back to his roots. Theatre's his first love.
Justin's love for theatre was unrequited. Years ago, we did A Woman of No Importance together in Bridport, and let me tell you, it takes a very particular talent to make comedy tragic or Oscar Wilde's wit witless.
Sorry to interrupt, but that lady wants to know if you'll give her a quote for her downstairs loo.
Well, Charles, what's it to be? Downstairs loo or verbatim play?
No contest. The first thing I did was promise Francis that I wouldn't renege. Charles would finish what Dave had started. The second thing I did was read the play. Self-consciously worthy and earnest as hell, it wasn't a show I'd pay to see. But a lot of people would, so for 6 shattering weeks, I rehearsed by day.
Well, it was like, what was it like? I don't know how to explain. It's not like I'd never had doubts. Yeah, it wasn't about me or God.
And by night, I put on my overalls and picked up where Dave had left off.
Your new bookshelves, madam, and I bought you a posh notebook to jot down ideas.
That's very thoughtful.
Yeah.
I think it should be the first one on the shelves.
Oh. I can fix that.
By the time Frances moved into her new writing room, the company moved into the theatre, ready for technical rehearsals.
Welcome to the Afro Ben. I'm Brendan, your stage doorman, and go to Mr. Fix-It for any reasonable problems. Any unreasonable problems, speak to Kelly in stage management.
Got it. I'm Charles.
I remember.
Really?
Oh, yes. Another country. 1983.
Blimey.
There are only 2 creatures in the natural world that never forget. Elephants and stage doormen.
Hi, I'm Lydia.
Pleased to meet you, Lydia. Right, ladies first. Let's see what we've got.
The only woman in a drearily male cast, Lydia Max spent most of the play sobbing and emoting straight at the audience, who then felt guilty for eating a chocolate chip ice cream in the interval.
Here we go. Dressing room 8. Oh, and there's a note for you.
For me?
Fan mail already.
Dropped off by a smart young man in a suit.
She took one look at the handwritten envelope and scrunched it into a pocket.
Anything for me?
Just a key. Dressing room 12A.
12A?
He means 13.
He means 12A. There is no dressing room 13. Never has been, never will be. At one warning, I always tell new casts, there's a lot of stairs, so mind how you go. If you're not fit now, you will be by the end of the run. Right, make yourselves at home and welcome to the Afra.
First time in the West End.
Actually, it is.
Best perk of the job. You've got your own pied-à-terre in the middle of town where you can eat, drink and have a nap.
Who sleeps in the day?
Give it 30 years.
Funny thing is, I saw my first grown-up show in this theatre.
Really?
My 10th birthday treat.
What was the show?
Sondheim's Company.
Oh, very grown-up for a 10-year-old. When was that?
2006.
Nothing makes me feel my age more than working with someone who's younger than the contents of my underwear drawer.
Sounds like you've worked here in the past.
Long before it was the Afra Ben.
Wow. When was that?
About 2,000 years ago.
Well, I think you're amazing for your...
Don't even think about finishing that sentence.
Brendan didn't say we'd need oxygen.
Oh, I thought it was just me.
How much further?
I think we've reached base camp. 12A, this is me. I've had worse.
Mind if I have a peek?
Please.
A bit gloomy.
Stick up a few good luck cards, home from home.
You'd think they could afford brighter light bulbs.
Millennials, you don't know you're born. Don't worry, I'm sure your room's got a chaise longue, jacuzzi and all-suite sauna.
Really?
Well, you better go and find out.
See you later.
See ya. Right, to work. Crossword. Crisps. And last but not least...
Animals scent mark territory. The religious bless a house. But I have a personal ritual for making a place my own.
Bless this dressing room and here's to a successful show. Home sweet home. Just a sec. Come in.
Yeah, he is.
Just then, welcome to my humble abode.
Room okay?
Bijou, but it'll do the job. Yours?
Bit bigger.
It's huge, isn't it?
Embarrassingly.
All gold taps and dictator chic.
Not quite.
Complain to the management, it's the star's prerogative.
Oh, I can't stand all that star crap. I'm a team player.
You can't deny it's your name above the title. You're bringing them in.
Well, strictly speaking, Warlock's bringing them in.
Where would Warlock be without Morhwarm?
That's kind of you to say.
But not easy to say. Also, my compliment was risky, as I still hadn't watched a single episode. Just skimmed the wiki page to get up to speed.
Well, I'll leave you to settle in.
Actually, while I've got you, I've been meaning to say thanks.
For what?
This.
The dressing room?
The job.
Oh, come off.
Seriously, my agent said you asked for me.
For a good reason.
What's that?
That play we did donkeys years ago.
The Wild?
I was way out of my depth, but you were the business.
Well, that's nice of you, but...
Oh, you really made me raise my game.
Oh, well.
Seriously, when it comes to the theatre, you're the dog's cojones. And you told me something I've never forgotten.
Did I?
Be nice to people on the way up. You never know when you might meet them again on the way down.
That's unusually wise of me. But you're not on the way down.
Don't jinx it, Charlie. Do you ever think you're going to get found out? Like you're going to walk into a rehearsal room and somebody's going to turn around and say, thanks very much, mate. You've had your fun. Game over. Do you ever feel that?
Constantly.
Not just me, then?
Everyone I know.
Well, while I've got a bit of... not power, but let's say influence. I want to help the good guys. The people who've helped me. The ones who deserve a break. Call me sentimental, but it gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling inside.
Only Justin could turn condescension into a compliment. A few minutes later, we were called to the stage for a company pep talk by our director, Nina.
And speaking as a superstitious director, I really shouldn't say this. So if anything goes wrong, you know who to blame. But with a cast like this, and a text like Faith, I honestly and truthfully feel we've got something very special. So, how about a round of applause for yourselves and for our author, Dervla Brody? Dervla, where is she?
The rest of us had gathered on the stage around our director.
There she is. What are you doing back there? Stand up.
Lurking at the back of the stalls, the reluctant writer gave a half-hearted wave, then focus shifted to a late arrival sauntering in from the wings.
Oh, no. What did I miss?
Only my big welcome
speech. Good of you to join us, Kit.
Yeah, right.
Kit Astley's trajectory had been rapid and stratospheric as Ossian the Night Warrior, Justin's sidekick in Warlock Wars.
Sorry, guys, entirely my bad.
Unburdened by talent, he got by on looks, uncannily white teeth, and an improbably overdeveloped torso, guaranteed to attract Comic-Con fantasy fans to an earnest play about sad monks.
Absolutely no excuse. Basically, I pulled an all-nighter and fell asleep. I blame whoever gave me such a bloody comfortable sofa in my dressing room.
He's got a sofa.
Styling it out with the brazen, bare-faced cheek of the privately educated, Kit's old-world charm won the day.
OK, gang, please check the sheets, but if you're not needed for the rest of the day, you're released back into the community till your next call.
I can't believe Kit's got a sofa. I've barely got room for an armchair.
I got the impression Lydia minded less than she said, and any annoyance quickly faded when Kit's top-heavy frame swung into view.
Don't let me do that again, Lydia.
How is you being late my fault?
You were the one who got me drunk last night.
He does this. Turns things around to his own advantage.
It's what politicians do. Look over there and then hope you don't notice what they're doing under your nose.
He's blushing.
Oh, just rosy cheeks. I've got this boyish thing going.
Anyone hungry?
Although it was an open invitation, her eyes lingered a second too long on Kit.
Oh, I've got some stuff to do.
No poker player. Lydia failed to conceal her disappointment.
But I might join you for a coffee, if you tell me where.
Well, I'm starving.
Good, because I know just the place.
Hiya, guys. Welcome to Clean and Green. Here's the menu, the ethical eating ethos, and our food sustainability mission statement. If you want to know more, scan the QR code for the full manifesto. I'll be back to take your orders in just a minute. Enjoy.
I just love this place.
Yeah, who wouldn't?
Across the street, my jaundiced eye alighted on a remnant of things past. An old-school Jewish salt beef bar with a high cholesterol window display that tugged at my heart and would probably have stopped it.
How's the dressing room?
Very pink. Did you see the Warlock fans outside the stage door?
Is that what they were?
They were all in cosplay.
I've lived in London so long, nothing surprises me anymore.
I grew up in Surrey commuter belt where you get a funny look if you have a haircut. I still pinch myself every time I cross the Thames.
Hang on to that feeling.
Earth has not anything to show more fair.
Who said that?
Wordsworth, upon Westminster Bridge.
Ah, dirty old river, must you keep rolling, flowing into the night.
What's that?
Waterloo Sunset.
Don't know it.
Ray Davies.
Is he a poet?
The Kinks. You really know how to make a guy feel old.
Sorry.
So, were they Justin's fans?
They were dressed like Ossian, so more likely Kit's. I'd never say this in front of Justin, but...
Kit's younger, fitter, and looks like a Marvel superhero.
Well, he's not my type, but yeah.
Oh, it looks like you've also got a fan.
Me?
Bloke outside.
What bloke?
He's pretending to read the menu, but he's clearly looking at you. Don't turn round.
Oh, for God's sake. We'll have to do this another time.
Lydia?
Sorry, Charles.
Through the window, I watched Lydia confront the man. I can't lip read and I've never been great at understanding mime, but her body language was unequivocally angry. And after a brief exchange, she marched off.
Are you ready or shall I wait till your friend comes back?
I don't think she's coming back.
Well, just to let you know, today's special is adzuki beans on linseed toast with fermented kelp ketchup.
Yeah, I'm afraid I've also got to go, but next time I want that fermented kelp ketchup.
I shot over to the deli, hurried past Kit's cosplay fans, and 10 minutes later was back in my dressing room, greasily tucking into a coronary-inducing salt beef sandwich on rye. Extra mustard, extra coleslaw, extra pickle and sauerkraut with a side of fries plus a potato latke with a sinus-exploding horseradish sauce. Whether it was the food or the half bottle of scotch I drank to wash it down, I fell into a near comatose sleep until...
What?
Hello.
You sound awful.
Probably feel worse.
Where are you?
Earth, I think.
You don't sound too sure.
It's dark. I'll put the light on. I'm in my dressing room. I must have dozed off. Hang on. Something on my shoe. Tastes like salt beef.
Tell me you haven't just eaten meat off your shoe.
Oh, I wish I could do that.
How are you even alive?
It was on the upper.
That's okay.
Did you phone for a reason?
If you pass for Norio on your way home, can you pick up Gorgonzola?
Oh.
If they've got it, the extra creamy one.
Oh, I've got to get out of here.
Charles?
Bye.
In my state, the perilous staircase was not only endless, but swaying like a pendulum. Hurtling down, I ricocheted from wall to wall till I swung a hairpin and... Even as I fell, I thought the mound of discarded costume felt solid for fabric.
What kind of idiot?
Now I realize that under the voluminous hooded monk's habit was a person. A person who was alarmingly still. Then I noticed blood pooling out across the concrete landing. Sober voices were coming upstairs from the understage area. Any second now, they'd find a drunk, nauseous actor standing over a lifeless body. I panicked and backed round the corner just as two stagehands reached the landing.
Oh my, call 999.
I knew I'd done nothing wrong, but I wasn't thinking straight.
Anyone around who knows CPR?
The situation was in steadier hands than mine. And the second the coast was clear, I tossed my key through the hatch of the doorman's empty office and stumbled into the night. Then, in the early hours, I woke in a guilty sweat. I lay awake trying to work out exactly what could have happened, when it happened, how it happened, and most importantly, who it had happened to.
In A Deadly Habit, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Lydia was Rhea Marshall, Kit, Joseph Eyre, Justin, Tony Turner, Brendan, Jonathan Kidd. Nina was Marilyn Nadabay, and the bar manager, Stuart Campbell. A Deadly Habit was written by Jeremy Front from the book by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Avens.